The first speaker is right here from our home island, Juliet Begley. And Kuhan Pike, I should mention, she really helped put a lot of this together. She's in San Francisco right now, so she contacted Juliet, but I'm glad she's here tonight. She's an immigrant to the United States. As a small child, she came to Los Angeles from Toronto, and prior to that, Great Britain. She was educated at a small girls' school in Pasadena, and then went on to Occidental College and studied political science and economics, along with Obama. In 1989, she sold her home in Pasadena and came to Hawaii on Air America. And for the last 25 years, she lived on Oahu. In that time, she did research for Environment Hawaii, worked at the East-West Center, the Office of Hawaiian Affairs, served in the Cayetano administration as a policy analyst, and worked for two unions, the Hawaii Nurses Association and the Teamsters. Juliet has been involved with a number of issues in the state, the most noticeable one being death with dignity and medical marijuana. She's a member of the board of Americans for Democratic Action, and that's why she's here tonight. The Trans-Pacific Partnership scares her, and she said that we should at the very least be asking ourselves why we are involved in such a trade agreement with so much secrecy, and when only leaks have been the currency of our discussion. So please welcome Juliet Begley.
Aloha. I'm a really terrible speaker because I don't feel that I cover enough unless I've written it in advance. So I hope that you will abide. I hope you won't find it too boring if I'm reading what I'm going to say. I'm here, as they said, because I'm a board member of the ADA. Our group does not have a Big Island chapter. And so the National ADA got in touch with me and said, oh, we're really, one of our main focuses is TPP. Our ADA is very much concerned about it. And so could you say a few things and come down there and da da da, and you're here, you're already there. In other words, they don't have to send anybody from Oahu. So I said, okay, fine. ADA was formed in response to keeping the policies, ideals, and ideas of the New Deal alive in the United States. So if you don't know what ADA is, that's why. The founders were Eleanor Roosevelt, John Kenneth Galbraith, Walter Reuther, Arthur Schlesinger, and Reinhold Niebuhr, just before the end of World War II. So it has quite a good selection of people that I find intellectually quite good. Since that time, ADA has supported many liberal causes and policies that are taken for granted today, though maybe not for much longer, as we see the conservative Tea Party movement trying to unravel these social gains. The fight for civil rights in the 40s and 50s, education reform, and serious anti-poverty programs in the 60s were all fights that ADA participated in. They fought against the hard line of the Bush invasion of Iraq, as they did with the Vietnam War, and it was on the vanguard in opposing the unjust economic and social policies of Richard Nixon, which there weren't a whole lot of those people necessarily. So, and Ronald Reagan and both George Bushes. So, in 2008, the worst financial crisis, opposition to the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement is a natural alliance, given the years of political action by ADA and the principles of democracy and leadership that ADA has espoused. The ADA in Hawaii is reconstituted in 15 years ago in Manoa, and our local history and membership have included such noteworthy people as Patsy and John Mink. Patsy was the national president of ADA, and Neil Abercrombie and Gene King. Currently have about 150 members in Hawaii, and I encourage all of you to connect with our website at adaaction.org. So there's a plug for ADA, sorry. Well, it's fair to say that I'm not the most knowledgeable person up here regarding the TPP. So I just want to acknowledge that straight off the bat. In fact, I'd have to admit that I have only read some chapters on WikiLeaks regarding the nature of the proposed agreement. Now, I've read quite a few commentaries about the agreement, and they have come from a lot of independent media, most of which have not been really generated in the US. And I think probably that's something you've noticed. If you go up looking at the TPP, you'll discover that there doesn't really seem to be a hell of a lot of printed paperwork on it that's emanating from the United States. So what I would say is I go to The Guardian, and that's The Guardian newspaper is what I've really discovered has a very, very good coverage about it. And internet coverage is quite good, and Democracy Now! Has done a couple of episodes, I believe, on the treaty, so I find that pretty good. And then when I turn to the U.S. press, it's just a lot of cheerleading. A lot of times I've found that, so I don't know if you've had that same experience, but that's what I've seen. I'm inclined to think that their coverage has been, so far, the least substantial, though the Washington Post has done a few pieces that are not so bad. However, with commentaries by people like David Corton, I do pay attention. And on March 9th, this is what Mr. Corton had to say about the TPP. The TPP is presented as an agreement to increase U.S. exports and jobs, but what's really at stake is democracy, and in the U.S., as well as in 11 other Pacific Rim countries that are parties to the TPP. Given past agreements in which the TPP is modeled, including NAFTA, the TPP provisions will likely have significant implications for nearly every aspect of American life, including intellectual property rights, labor and environmental protections, consumer safety and product labeling, government procurement, and national resource management. Given the way these agreements are crafted, we can be quite certain that the implications will favor corporate profits over human well-being. And once the agreement is approved, its provisions will trump national and local laws, including the U.S. Constitution, and will not be subject to review or revision by any national legislative nor judicial body, including the U.S. Supreme Court. Well, those are really sobering words to me. And remember, the framework for this agreement has been in negotiation since about 2010. Though some things I've read, they say 2005, but you were explaining why that is. So we'll just say 5 years, approximately. And we are only able to begin to understand really the content of it when it happened in November 13th, 2013, that Julian Assange released on WikiLeaks the secret negotiated draft text for the entire TPP intellectual property rights chapter. And the release took place days before the TPP met in Salt Lake City. And this is what Assange had to say about that. And the U.S. administration is aggressively pushing the TPP through the U.S. legislative process on the sly. The advanced draft of the intellectual property rights chapter, published by WikiLeaks, provides the public with the fullest opportunity so far to familiarize themselves with the details and implications of the TPP. And that's kind of sobering. That was just a little bit over a year ago. That's not really a very open society we're living in when you think that that type of information is only released through someone that is under ostensibly house arrest in London, right? I mean, all of a sudden. So I have no doubt that there were some things involved in this particular situation with him politically. Why I think members of, well, I'd say the U.S. government doesn't have favorable association with Mr. Assange, because I think to some degree he's released something that they were not willing or wished to have released to such a large degree. Anyway, the thing about the chapter that they released, that the WikiLeaks released, that I thought was most insightful was the longest section of this particular 95-page document, which was, again, in November of 2013 released. The longest one was called Enforcement, the chapter. It was called Enforcement. It's devoted to detailing new policing measures with far-reaching implications for individual rights, civil liberties, publishing, internet service providers, and internet privacy, as well as for the creative, intellectual, biological, environmental commons. Particular measures proposed include supranational litigation tribunals to which sovereign national courts are expected to defer. Sovereign national courts are expected to defer. That's huge. But which have no human rights safeguards whatsoever. The TPP chapter states that these courts can conduct hearings with secret evidence, and they also replicates many of the surveillance and enforcement provisions from the shelved SOPA and ACTA treaties. So that's why ADA is interested in this. There was an article by The Guardian's Dan Gilmore, and there's just a couple of pieces where he had comments that I thought were really kind of interesting too, where Gilmore says, the medical industry has a stake in this outcome too, with credible critics saying it would raise drug prices, and according to another analysis, give surgeons patent protection for their procedures. So, you know, there's a group of people that need to make more money. The draft confirms that the negotiating parties are prepared to expand the reach of intellectual property rights and shrink consumer rights and safeguards. So, maybe that means also that you have a problem with a product and you have a court system here to address that situation. Well, it's not going to be able to do that. should the corporation decide that they want to utilize the next peeled up, I guess. Anyway, since I'm speaking very abbreviatedly, understand that TPP is the embodiment of what happens when government and corporate interests collude. We lose. And remember, had WikiLeaks not released a draft, we'd not be speaking about it today. Not in this particular level, I don't think. Now, I do know there were congressional things that got leaked out, and of course people were able to follow some of the negotiations based on congressional leaks. But I would say that putting up a draft with all sorts of notations on it was a massive leap of understanding, or at least the ability for people to access it. So I still say that we are really beholden to WikiLeaks. That's the really sobering aspect of the whole secrecy component. TPP is a vehicle to undermine the government as we know it today, with the beneficiaries being corporations over people. I just want to say that ADA encourages to write to Hirono and Schatz, our senators, and state that we do not want the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement. And please go to the website for further facts and greater details that I haven't been able to express here. Thank you.